When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Wednesday morning in hour number two. We start things off with our 7-7 top headlines. Joel Embiid fueling the 76ers Game 2 victory with a 40-point performance. Shake Milton in a star role off of the bench. The crowd was rocking. They got some free Frosties for their efforts, Donnie, and the Sixers level up that series.
Yep, Shake Night in Philadelphia, an impressive performance by Joel Embiid, and it's so good to see. If you would have told me Joel Embiid has a torn meniscus in one of his knees and is going to be dominating, scoring close to 40 points each and every game, outrageousness. But here the Sixers are, 1-1, heading back to Atlanta. Exciting night in Philadelphia, and yes, free Frosties for everybody, Kevin.
You absolutely love a good free Frosty when you can get it. Also in the NBA, Donovan Mitchell leads the Utah Jazz's comeback against the LA Clippers in game one of that series. A 45-point performance from Donovan Mitchell as the Jazz trailed the Clippers by 13 points at the break. A game that came down to the final possession. A very exciting opening game here where you knew the winner was going to be riding high, and it was the Utah Jazz with a 112-109 final.
Is it this easy moving forward, Kevin, with the Utah Jazz? Hey, let me check the starting lineups. Oh, Donovan Mitchell is in? Yep, they're going to win this game, no doubt about it. It seems like that's the way it's been. A rested and ready Donovan Mitchell missed a lot of the final half of the season in the NBA, but comes back storming into the playoffs. Exciting times here for the Jazz. We'll see if the Clippers can bounce back in game two.
You know, it's a good point. A thing that's probably going a little bit under the radar right now is that they're unbeaten in this playoffs with Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And Donovan Mitchell was the best player in that game yesterday. He really is a playoff performer. I'll give Donovan Mitchell that. There's no doubt about it. He does seemingly step up when the moment is at the biggest. So a big time win there for the Utah Jazz. Also in the NBA, we found out who was going to win the MVP award before Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year. Why? Who knows? Let's not complain. Nikola Jokic, though, is your MVP after becoming what seemed to be the clear favorite at the midway point of the season, maybe due to injuries, but also due to an excellent year from Jokic. Comes away as the first ever second-round draft choice to win an MVP award, Donnie.
Kevin, the NBA is a billion upon billion dollar industry. You have your biggest award, and it's in a conference ballroom with treadmills in the background, a stand-up TV, players standing around having no idea, it looks like, why they're there, and they seem annoyed at it, and you present that he wins the award, and you see him on a cell phone waving to somebody. That's the big award for the MVP, the most important prize outside of the championship trophy. Get it together, NBA. Put this in a live scenario in front of his own fans. Make it a celebration, not a, oh, man, we got a team meeting today. Jokic is going to get the award. Come on, NBA, be better. The guy deserves it.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they will do something before Game 3 in Denver. I will also just say it was very funny to watch the reaction to him winning the award from a lot of people who were just quote-tweeting. Like the tweet, you know, you call it Nikola Jokic is going to be there, just put the good, good. Like, as if they were, like, really on edge. Oh, what if they don't give it to him? What if they give it to Chris Paul? Because, like, Jokic was going to win the award. We knew that for a while, and he absolutely did deserve it. Let's welcome the radio audience into the fold here. Thank you for listening to us on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here on the early line on a Wednesday morning, going through the 7-7 top headlines. Over on the ice, Donnie, Vegas Golden Knights. In overtime, win 3-2. They're now up 3-2 in the series. You know, three straight goals, three straight wins. Everything's 3-2. Everything Vegas right now in that series.
What a turn on there. You know, being down 0-2, looks like it's just not enough. And the Avalanche, nobody can stop them, get it out of their way. What a win on the road. And you are right. Being down 0-2 in Game 5, a pivotal Game 5, which you're going to take command of that series, an overtime victory, and heading back to one of the best party atmospheres on the planet, particularly in the T-Mobile Arena out there in Las Vegas for Game 6. That's going to be one to watch. But a nice win for VGK. And also a nice win for people that are out here backing an odds boost on the Vegas Golden Knights, plus 200 to win the series to start. Looked terrible, Kevin, to start. But boy, the sun is up, it's bright, and it's warm out here. Let's go Vegas.
Odds boost turning the day around with some good odds boosts on today's board that we will be talking about. The Milwaukee Brewers get their fifth straight win, beating a hot Reds team that actually entered that game, winners of four in a row in their own right, winning that game 5-1. The Milwaukee Brewers, Donnie, the favorites right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the NL Central.
The anonymous Brewers, as I like to call them there, great frontline pitching, great bullpen, but not a lot of household names outside of Christian Yelich. They are doing some damage here in June. They will be a force the rest of the summer. It's up to that organization to make the right moves at the trade deadline to add some pieces, maybe a big bat, maybe a third or fourth starter, and they are going to be a good baseball club. Way to go, Brewers. Stick in there. Got this.
We close it out with a couple of football headlines. First, in college football, a report on expansion coming possibly within the next week. Also, I'll just tie this in here, Donnie, get your thoughts on both of them. Julio Jones, no more number 11 here. Going to switch to the number 2 as he starts his tenure with the Tennessee Titans.
Yep, college football, the more the merrier. Make it happen. It needs to happen sooner than later. And yes, Julio Jones, fresh start here, going with the number 2. I like the number 2 look on him, by the way. So maybe that is the start of something great down in Tennessee, but just to double down, college football. Put 64 teams in, Kevin. I'm ready for it in football. Let's go.
Donnie, hashtag banish the bowls is trending. Yes. The number changes will be weird, though. I saw Jalen Ramsey is wearing number 5 now, but I'm not mad at it. We'll come right back with more early line on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live right here on the early line. Now time to break down tonight's single game board in the NBA. The Suns and the Nuggets. A little bit later, maybe we'll talk about that series price. We're going to lock in here, though, with the Phoenix Suns laying 6, a total of 222.5. And Donnie, I have to start with a little bit of news that snuck under the radar to me coming off of the Game 1 Phoenix victory. And that was Michael Porter Jr. aggravating his back. not really being available for the closing stretch there for that Denver team. Back issues, what cost him his, you know, probable top five position had he been healthy in that draft class, allowed the Nuggets to capitalize and take him when they did later into the lottery. It cost him, you know, a little bit of time as well in the early beginnings of his career, something that's probably going to stay with him now. Something to keep in mind for people, Donnie, that Michael Porter Jr. Likely to play, but very likely to also not be 100% coming into this game.
Yeah, not the greatest defender either for Michael Porter Jr. So how much, you know, defensive effort will he exert? Because obviously you need him on the offensive spectrum. But looking at this series overall, you need all the healthy bodies you can get here for the Denver Nuggets. I'm very high on the Suns. Even coming into the series, I thought they should actually be the leaders in the West here as opposed to take down the West and get to the NBA Finals. Looking at this right now, that's certainly not a good sign, because that's even more of a problem for Nikola Jokic, where we always joke, Kevin, they're not going to win unless he gets 45 and 15. He might have to get that just to stick around in the series if we have more attrition by injuries here for the Denver Nuggets.
And that's why I just want to mention, like, off the bat from the points props perspective there, and you saw that great board that we have that shows you the star players and their points props. Like, Michael Porter Jr.'s number is 19.5. Missed it in game one, and I'm not so sure that Michael Porter Jr. is someone that I would be backing here to the over. Maybe it come around on the under. I know we finished with 26 in both games, 5 and 6 against Portland, but he was still under that number in three of those games during that series. And even in his appearances against Phoenix this year, has yet to get over the 19.5 point threshold, Donnie. Factoring in some injury news, who knows if he re-aggravates this thing. Donnie did this masterfully with the Anthony Davis news. Now, again, I don't think Michael Porter Jr. is anywhere near as banged up, but Donnie played an Anthony Davis under that cashed. You can't cash unders until games finish unless a guy gets injured. That Anthony Davis thing cashed in 5 minutes because he was done. You could possibly be playing with that same deal here with Michael Porter Jr., Donnie.
Yeah, underlying circumstances, and that's what you try to read into. You try to get that, you know, outside-the-box thinking, saying, okay, if he's completely healthy, here's what he can do. Because usually when you look at a points prop, or if it's a points, rebounds, and assist prop, they are banking on him playing a very efficient game and being exactly the way he's been throughout the regular season. So if you throw in an injury, that means limited time, and how effective can he be all the way across the court? The same thing we used to bring up, Kevin, earlier in the last series between the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers, looking at the points prop, the assist prop for Chris Paul, because he legitimately couldn't shoot a three-point shot early in that series. Try to find these outstanding situations where you can look at that number and say, boy, if he was healthy, he can probably get this, but if he's not healthy, it's going to be extremely hard to get this. Now, is this going to be an injury where he said, hey, Joel Embiid's going to play game one. Ah, it's going to be like Anthony Davis. He's not going to be that effective at all. And then you say, now, wait a second. How injured was he? Is this just looking out for Michael Porter in game one, putting him on the bench just to be safe and a little bit of a back spasm and I'm fine for this game? That's what you have to determine in this one, Kevin.
Yeah, really interesting stuff on that front. Let's talk more, though, Donnie, about the side and the total here. Phoenix laying a 6 spot, a total at 222.5. Phoenix covering the number in game one, the game going over the number in game one as well. What do you think as we go now for the second game of this series?
I thought Phoenix would win the first game, which they did, which again, when we're talking about from betting perspectives, why would you take the series price if you're looking for the Nuggets, thinking that they weren't going to win game one? You get a much better price in game two. The Denver Nuggets aren't going away easily here. You have the MVP of the National Basketball Association still on the team with Nikola Jokic, who can dominate a game at any time and all the way through a game, as we've seen many times this year, and into the playoffs. But as I look, it just seems like too much firepower, too much balanced firepower. You also have a young kid in DeAndre Ayton who's playing some really good basketball now. Just enough, Kevin, to interfere with Nikola Jokic and make him give maximum effort, where maybe against some other teams he could coast and have a dominating performance. I look at the number -6. You need a big bounce back here from the Nuggets. But as I was thinking a couple days ago, maybe is the time now to jump in on the Nuggets in the series after they lost game one. I'm not so sure that right now. And then the news of Michael Porter Jr. being injured, maybe another starter, a key contributor damaged here. Are we going against the Suns or Kevin? Am I giving too much credit right now to the Phoenix Suns basketball team?
I don't think you're giving too much credit. They closed game one tremendously. But I think the important word there is closed. You know, it was a 17-point Phoenix Suns victory. That game was much more competitive than that. And I think there's a world in which you might prefer to have the 6 points if you could, right? This is a game that had a 72-63 Denver Nuggets lead around midway through the third quarter. And then an avalanche hit that team, and they found themselves down 9 points after being up 9 points. An 18-point swing in the final 7 minutes of the quarter really flipped things on their head, and then Chris Paul was masterful in the fourth quarter. Denver lost game one against Portland and proceeded to go out there and win the next two. They won multiple games on the road in that series as well, Donnie. Maybe this series could be tough for them. Maybe Phoenix is riding this hot, but I think I would lean towards the points here tonight in Denver, but I think I'd just much rather play the total. Can we just keep riding Denver Nuggets overs in the postseason right now? They've been profitable up until this point. Maybe Denver's offense doesn't hit a blip in the radar like they did the last time here. Phoenix can keep scoring, and we just come in and back and over.
It seems like that. And also, as I look at the time starting here for the East Coast, 9:35 tonight, Kevin, the one thing we do know for sure is we won't get some absurd number mid-game, or at least we won't think. Are we going to take the 13.5? How about last night, Kevin, real quick, on the Atlanta game with the Philadelphia 76ers? Sure. Boy, taking that 15.5 looks like a steal now. Did you see what the final score was in that game? NBA is madness, particularly with betting in-game numbers where you feel you need a higher number. Like 15.5, where do I sign up? Hey, this is a one-point lead by Atlanta late in the third quarter, and it flips on its head in the fourth because of Shake Milton at this time. But you're right, six is a very strong number. You're basically needing to win this game if you want to cash the ticket from the Phoenix side from double digits, which always leaves a lot to be desired in the last minute, because if one team is up six, the other team's going to get some pretty good looks at three-point shots as the clock winds down. I was really on the Denver Nuggets after game one, saying, boy, I'm going to come in here and steal some value with game two. But as we get closer to tip here, Kevin, I'm still feeling those Phoenix Suns. Let me see how it plays out here in the first and second quarter. Maybe reevaluate at the half. But one thing is for sure, they are going to need a massive effort once again out of Jokic to hang around in this ballgame.
I want to bring up a prop in this game. Now, the Jokic points, Donnie talked about it. I think, again, if you're a Denver backer as well, they've dropped the number a little bit, 29.5. Hard not to think that Jokic can't go out there and get over that number. I want to bring up the points plus assist number on Chris Paul. We talked about this number before game one. It was 22.5. He had hit it with comfort in all three regular season meetings. And if he was going to get healthier, maybe you were getting some value. And what we've seen in the NBA playoffs, if you can identify a prop, you can really ride that thing out. It takes a while for things to adjust. Luka Doncic, points plus rebounds plus assists, was a cash cow in that series against the Clippers. Chris Paul's points plus assists is 25.5 off of one game in the series. That's a considerable move. One that I think maybe has a little bit to do, though, with not just his performance of 21 points and 11 assists, but he's healthy now. A big move there. I'd still look towards the over for CP3. Four games versus Denver, gone over in all of those games, Donnie. But I think that that's a number to be a little cautious with, as there was a big adjustment. Let's take a break. Let's come back. A little take it or leave it. And golf talk on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We We are live right here on the early line. Donnie Wrightside alongside myself, Kevin Walsh here, breaking all the action down on a Wednesday morning. And we've got the Palmetto Championship coming up here on the golf board. And to get things started, we go over, as always, to Rick Gaiman for a course preview.
Last week, an excellent event for the Memorial, and next week, the U.S. Open. But don't look ahead, because there is a new event this week. That's right, the Palmetto Championship at Congaree will be played in South Carolina and is the one-year replacement for the RBC Canadian Open. And while it is the week before a major championship, meaning the field is not the strongest we've ever seen, this golf course should be the star of the show. Congaree Golf Club in South Carolina was built only 4 years ago by Tom Fazio, and it was inspired by the sand belt golf courses of Australia. So there is really only one length of grass on this golf course. It's the fairway. And if you miss the fairway, you are in these sandy areas. The scorecard is demanding. 7,655 yards for a par 71 is the longest par 71 that we have on the PGA Tour. And we can argue whether it's going to play to its full length, but there are two holes, numbers 8 and 9, that account for nearly 1,000 yards on two par 4s. Stout to say the least. And you look at the greens, lots of runoff and awkward areas. If you miss these greens, your short game is going to have to be pristine if you want to raise the trophy on Sunday at Congaree. So this is a course we might not get to see again for a while. Enjoy it. It's going to be a good one.
Man, strong shirt there from Rick today. But Donnie, that sounds like the short game going to be very important at the Palmetto Championship.
No, it certainly does. And this is one of the interesting tournaments, Kevin, because a lot of the top name guys usually take this week off, getting ready for a major the following week, but not the case here. And also taking a look, as it was brought up in that video, this tournament is in South Carolina. Obviously, we know Torrey Pines is out on the West Coast, so some travel conditions moving forward. There are a few big names still in this tournament, and the FanDuel Sportsbook is going to offer some pretty good odds on odds boosting. Kevin, I have to say, since we're tennis guys and we got a nice little tennis boost, which doesn't look like it's going to work out in our favor, I think coming right back in on this FanDuel odds boost here on the PGA Tour might be profitable for us.
Yeah, we're gonna need to figure some stuff out quietly as we're breaking this down. Iga Swiatek is right now on the verge of an upset that is going to crush our French Open hopes there. Let's go back to Rick here so Donnie and I can go pull up Iga Swiatek live streams here and get his thoughts on Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's the fourth choice coming in to the Palmetto Championship, and what he's expecting from Matthew Fitzpatrick.
There's a few interesting names at the top of the board, but the one that has my attention is Matt Fitzpatrick at 13-1. And I think on paper, this is a really hard place to think that Matt Fitzpatrick would have success very long. 7,655 yards on the scorecard, and Matt Fitzpatrick is not particularly long off the tee, but he gains a ton of strokes in that category. In fact, he has not lost strokes in any event since the start of the calendar year. So what does that mean? It means he's longer than you think, and he is absolutely playing out of the fairway every single time or close to it. And that's going to be a very important skill set when you get to Congaree Golf Club this week. If we go back and we look at recent results for Matt Fitzpatrick at some of the more difficult courses on the PGA Tour, it starts to get really impressive. You could go back to last year at the Memorial, Mirfield Village. You could go back to Olympia Fields, two top tens there. Riviera, a fifth place finish there. He's piled up top 10 finishes at Sawgrass and Bay Hill and the Concession. It just seems like no matter what the course, how difficult it is, or how well it should set up for him on paper, it doesn't really matter. He's found a way to assert himself on the top of the leaderboard, and this is arguably one of the most top-heavy and weakest fields that we have on the schedule. So if there was ever a time for Fitzpatrick to really, really thrive and lean on his game, lean on the putter, lean on the driver, and kind of assert himself into this leaderboard, it would be this week at the Palmetto Championship.
in golf, they often say, you know, horses for courses. According to Rick there, sounds like Matthew Fitzpatrick kind of fits the bill, Donnie, no matter where he's playing.
Hey, if you're going to hit the ball straight off the tee, that's the name of the game here. How many times do we see guys scrambling around the golf course, hey, able to work in and really score above what their means are? But it's some interesting topics he brings up where if you hit it off of the fairway, we're not looking at rough, Evan. You're looking at going right into the sand. So an interesting golf course, to say the least here. But I have to say, there's two names in this field I think I'll be cheering for this weekend, Kevin.
Yeah, it's going to be some fun stuff here. Let's transition to Take It or Leave It, but keep things, though, in the world of golf. We've got a PGA Tour odds boost on the FanDuel Sportsbook this week from the Palmetto Championship. Brooks Koepka or Dustin Johnson to win the Palmetto Championship was plus 350, now plus 415. Donnie, take it or leave it.
I mean, I'm taking it. I'm taking that all day long. You're not giving me just like two random guys here. Well, we'll give you a top guy, and then we'll give you maybe a guy in the middle. They're giving you the two top guys to win this tournament, hone their skills, and get ready for the U.S. Open next week in Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. You're right, Kevin. You take a look at the 350 price, boosted up to 415 now, taking two of the better players in the world. And we're also looking at this field. If it's a usual, you know, Masters field, PGA Championship field, U.S. Open field, British Open field, you're getting the top golfers in the world. You're not getting it in this golf tournament, but you are getting two of the top golfers in the world as a combination. You know, it'll be nice in this tournament, Kevin, on Sunday afternoon, having Koepka and Johnson in the final group, five strokes ahead of the field. Let's go. Odds boost me up here, Kevin. I'll take that 415.
I love it. How do you not take it? How do you not?
I mean, Brooks
is playing excellent golf, coming off a second place finish there at the PGA Championship. And Dustin Johnson just feels due. It has been way too long since we've went into a Sunday with DJ lurking around the top of that leaderboard, maybe a three-shot lead, and everybody going, oh boy, here comes Dustin again. I think this is great, and plus 415 is undeniable value. One more take it or leave it here for us. We said we were going to get back to this. The series price on the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets has certainly shifted a lot after that game one Phoenix Suns victory. The Denver Nuggets are now plus 315, Donnie, to win that series. Take it or leave it.
I got to tell you, I was so close to taking it, but I'm leaving this one on the table. That's a big price at 315. Donnie, why are you walking away from all this money right here when you said before the series, wait to bet the Nuggets after game one because they will be down 0-1. And here I am after Jokic gets the MVP award, after the Michael Porter Jr. news that maybe his back is a little bit banged up. I'm leaving it on the table. And you know what's going to be making me most angry, Kevin? When the Denver Nuggets win this game, and I tell myself, I told you, Donnie, you should have been in on this. Why didn't you listen to your inner self right here? You're supposed to talk me into this. Say, you know what, Donnie? Got to stop the segment right here. You said you like the Nuggets. I'm talking myself out of it live on the air, Kevin. Help me out here.
So here's the thing. I, again, wish we could get, you know, Denver plus a game and a half, right? I think something like that with a little plus price would be interesting. Here's where you go to complicate things unnecessarily, to each his own. But Denver is now 14-1 to win the West. Like, Donnie, if I were to offer you those two options, am I overdoing it by taking that gargantuan number and working off of that? Or do you think you're just better off taking the 315 on Denver for the series?
I would rather take the bigger score because later on, if they end up winning this series, there's still money to be made, even if they don't end up winning the West or even the championship here in the NBA. But I'm upset with myself. It's too early for this, Kev. Plus 315, I should be all over it. Take it. And I can't do it right now. I'm leaving it out there on the table. And I needed you to convince me, Kevin. You're not doing it.
Well, here's the thing, Donnie. I'm already thinking, right? We got in-play sports tonight. We're going to be live during that game. Although, yeah. With that start time, we're going to get like 10 minutes of game. Oh, you know what, Donnie? I just realized with the sleep schedule, you basically have to decide to take it or leave this series maybe altogether. I mean, you're not going to be able to catch more, it feels like, than the half.
That's I'm going to be rolling around in bed needing to know this. Yep, and it's one of those games, Kevin, we're right. Let's just say the first shot of the game goes down for Phoenix to go up 2-0. Ah! I lost that bet already. No way they win this series now. That's got the feel for me.
That's great. I wonder if, you know, how late, Donnie, can you walk the dog and get yourself up and at him just to break down some halftime lines there? I feel like you could figure something out.
Look, last night I was headed for a long night, being I was in on the Philadelphia Phillies team total. Took the dog out for a walk. They got that fairly quickly, and I conked out with a light. Like, I don't have the energy in the tank anymore. The minute I win a bet, it goes to zero, and I redline and have to go to bed. That's just the way it is for a 43-year-old guy.
Donnie hits a bet, screams, whoa, and he's just gone. He just absolutely loses. And that's when I have to text Dave Sharp and all the other things that are going on, because we've lost Donnie. And Donnie wakes up at 5:30 in the morning. Vegas! Which is, that is quite literally the sequence of events that did just play out. Speaking of Dave Sharp and the sports book Consiglietti, he's going to be joining us here on the show next, which I am pumped up about. I can see him out of the corner of my eye wearing an outfit that I know is an absolute troll job by him. But he's also hyped up, ready to go. He's a hockey guy. He's joining a couple of hockey guys. It's the perfect, perfect setup. We'll come right back with the early line on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back right here to the early line. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. It's interesting because he's a guest here on the show, but Dave is always with us on the radio side. It feels very natural. But we welcome in Dave Sharapan, the sports book Consiglietti, who you can catch on In-Game Live at two separate hours. In between that, he's on In-Play Sports tonight with myself and Donnie over there in Vegas, waking up early to hang out with us here, Dave. How are we feeling here on a Wednesday morning?
Guys, I'm fired up. Are you kidding me? First of all, I'm here with you two, which, you know, we talk every day, so this is really cool to finally be up and see you while we're talking. And second of all, coming off a Vegas win in Colorado, now up 3-2. I'm ready to go. I mean, like, whatever you want to talk about, we're ready to talk about. And I got to wear this Islanders jersey. I'm paying off Carver. I lost the bet, so I got to wear the Islander jersey every time they play, and I'm on. We're ready to rock the Islanders jersey tonight. They're up 3-2, and they're dogs at home. You hockey guys know that line leaves a lot of questions. That's a big sure. deal.
It certainly is a big deal. By the way,
hockey guys we know.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. We are a couple of hockey guys here, and the only way, like, having money on the series with VGK and how you know I'm a hockey guy, Dave, I didn't know the final score until I saw the final updates here to the show this morning. It said, hey, Vegas won last night. Phenomenal. I think I'm going to cash some tickets. That's how in tune I am with the National Hockey League. But big doings, you're right, on the island tonight. And what are your thoughts, Dave, on this game going into it? You know, from a totals perspective, from a, you know, as an Islander fan and an Islander player, you better get the job done tonight, and what that actually means to the game intention-wise, Dave.
Well, no, the Islanders obviously want to win the game tonight, but what I've seen, especially last game, the Islanders out-hit the Bruins, and nobody out-hits the Bruins. The Bruins are the biggest, baddest, you know, team in the East, and usually the most physical. But the Islanders can play any style. I mean, and they are not afraid to get in, you know, the dirty areas to face wash guys. That's when they put the glove right in the face after whistle and give that little smell of what's on that glove. It's not really good. But face washes are in order. And goaltending. The Islanders are getting the goaltending to win. And no one thought that before. The Bruins have been favored in every game. In an elimination game, the Bruins are favored. Now, can they win this game? Yes, but I like the Islanders. I think If there's ever a game where everything kind of points to the home dog winning the game, it's tonight. Mm. Now, do they have to win? No. I think they can win a game seven on the road. It's very hard to do. Montreal already has done it, and they did it without fans there. A little bit different. But I think obviously all the pressure's on the Bruins. It's not really – I didn't get up this early in the morning to tell you that, you know, a team facing elimination down 3-2 has all the pressure. But they got all the pressure.
The thing that's really interesting about both of these series is that you've got them in the same spot right now, where Vegas is going to host Game 6. The Isles will host Game 6. If either one of them loses, what a disaster. Now you're going back for Game 7. The pressure maybe is a little bit equal. Talk to me about the temperature now of this Vegas series, because winning three straight off of a Colorado team that started the postseason 6-0 feels like a massive accomplishment from that team. Obviously, still more work to do, Dave, but what a turnaround from Vegas.
Yeah, the difference is like in this one, the early line – no pun intended, is Vegas minus 140 will be in game six. So you see the difference with the numbers. I think Vegas has been the better team in every game except the first game. Again, and started the backup goaltender who hadn't played in 22 days and said, okay, let's go. Maybe it was a genius move and said, we're going to punt game one. Go give it your best shot. But, yeah, Colorado, they're the fastest team in the league, and they got all these guys, and we're on the road. Good luck. And they threw Leonard out there, who gave up 7 goals, and he left them out there. Usually a guy gets 5 goals in a playoff game, and you pull him. He was like, nah, this was the reliever that's, you're down 10-3. You're staying in there. Just keep throwing. Good luck. We'll pay you later. I mean, it's one of those things, and it's worked out. Vegas has been a better team. They've outshot them. They've played better 5-on-5. As long as they stay out of the penalty box, which they did again last night, they are equal to Colorado almost in every facet. So a little bit different temperature, I think, but at the same time, you're up 3-2. You got a chance to win at home. Oh, man, that building's going to be electric tomorrow night on Thursday. Man. I can't wait.
It's great stuff, because I think this is what we waited for through the pandemic, because the emotion comes back into the arenas. You have two home teams not staving off elimination, but you want that party atmosphere. These fans, Dave, are going to the arena expecting a party, expecting a win, and what might happen moving forward, another step going to the Stanley Cup. Now, you're a Vegas guy. Talk to us a little bit about the feeling in Las Vegas, because we're still another day out, but getting that monster win in overtime, and then as a fan, you immediately flip forward to go, wait a second, game six at home, I have to be there. It's got to be the ultimate party atmosphere.
It's nuts, because this place is Vegas nights crazy, as far as like everyone has the license plate. You go to the grocery store and everyone's wearing gear. It's so much fun because the whole place is caught up in it. And you want to talk about a hard to get ticket? I already started sending texts last night. Like, listen, just get me one. I just need one in the building. I want to bring, maybe little Kinzig or Mrs. Kinzig, somebody with me. But if we can only get one and get in the building, I want to be in that building. I just don't want to create a problem, because I got 4 women in the house and I can't get 5 tickets. There's just no way. I mean, if you guys were here, we couldn't even get 3, and I'd have to pick one of you two to go in with if one of the Kinzigs couldn't go, and then we would have a real problem, because I need both of you guys there. But yeah, it's gonna be electric.
It was the 3 of us. If you had 2 tickets, though, I think Donnie and I, as the hockey guys, I feel like we would go. You could stay at home with the other Kinzigs. I feel like that would, we're just such hockey guys. But I want to transition a little bit over to the NBA with you, Dave, here, and ask you about last night's Jazz-Clippers game, because this is a very interesting game. We asked this question at the start of the show, and I'll ask you, with now hindsight totally available, was last night's game a must-win for the Clippers, Dave?
No. It's really not. Like, there's no – what they just did in the Dallas series, there's no must wins for them. They're going to get four. It's Kawhi's time. However, they're going to get four. They may have to win the last four, knowing them. They may lose game two and then go and lose game three and then sweep. I put nothing past this team. I had them dead to rights against Dallas. They didn't win a home game until the last home game. They may not win a road game in this series, which means they won't win the series. But I don't think it was a must win at all. Should they have won the game? Maybe. Yeah, they probably should have, but they didn't, and they're going to be fine. You want to talk about a team that almost like has that like no pulse? They play like Kawhi plays, right? That's the temperature of that team. Just silent, you know, play with a little emotion here, and then give Kawhi the ball. He takes over the game, and they get the dub. So, not surprised. You know, the line will be the same for the next game. I mean, it closed three. It fell three. A lot of people got pushes, and a lot of people got a win by a point. Not surprised at all. Can't wait to see how it plays out just as far as Utah kind of establishing themselves as the team to beat in the West. It's pretty fun to watch a team on the coming up like Utah.
And Dave, we talked about it earlier, both myself and Kevin. It seems like you just put Donovan Mitchell in the lineup, and when he plays, it's a victory for the Utah Jazz. We'll see how that moves forward. But also a little bit out of that Philadelphia 76ers game last night. Joel Embiid, the modern medical marvel out here, playing seemingly on no knees and dominating and playing better than maybe his MVP self during the regular season. I can't make heads or tails of it, Dave. You being in the room trying to set up lines going, Joel Embiid's hurt. He's going to play 10 minutes. Well, wait a second. He played 40. The second game, there's no way he plays more than 30 minutes. He plays 35 and scores 40 points. Dave, I can't make heads or tails of this stuff.
He ain't hurt. I mean, they said he's hurt. And maybe he is, but he ain't hurt. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. If I go in the morning and go in the room and say, all right, what's the line for the Sixers game? He ain't hurt. It's plain and simple. If he is, I want a torn meniscus because – he's doing it all. I mean, right? Like, I want to get up and have a torn meniscus because that was amazing. I'm seeing what I've seen after that game and going, all right, now what? I mean, the Sixers are going to come a short favorite in Atlanta? A short favorite? Atlanta ain't beat that team. If JoJo gets enough minutes and stays out of foul trouble, they may not beat him again. They got one more win left in them, I think. And that's it. I think the Sixers are going to win the series. I was a little worried after game one. I thought, oh, maybe, you know, Atlanta has a chance. I don't see it. I think we're headed for the Philadelphia and Brooklyn, and I can't wait. Yeah. But we got to get through this series first. I don't think Milwaukee's going to provide much resistance for Brooklyn. And after last night, JoJo's knee, I'm good.
Milwaukee. We're putting that off. No one has to talk about that series today. We're not doing it today. What about tonight's game, Dave? Suns Nuggets. Phoenix laying 6. The total's 222.5. Coming up a little bit. Heard some interesting news around Michael Porter Jr. Maybe not 100% coming in to this game. Will Barton still likely to remain out here? What do you make of this game here? Phoenix laying 6 in game 2.
So we get to that number, right, that makes you – it gives you that pause. We got to find a reason to get some Nuggets money because, I don't know, game one showed me that Phoenix is embracing this role, right? We just beat the Lakers. I mean, sorry, did I say that out loud? Somehow I found a way to mention the Lakers and LeBron. I didn't mean to do it. It just happened. It's early in the morning. Sun's not even up here. Sorry, Kev. Anyhow, the Suns – I mean, the Suns on a money line, I feel safer than laying 6, to be perfectly honest. I think this line's going to climb. I think 6.5, if it reaches 7, obviously, the bad guys come in on Denver. I think that they may provide the resistance when we get up here in the morning in the desert and play the plus 6. I think the value side, the guys that make the big plays, I think they're going to look to take the Nuggets in game 6 or game 2 plus the 6. That's what I think the play is. The total's good again, but I think the total's a little light. I think the reluctance to move the totals on adjustments, but I think it's a good number, but I think 225 would be better. Slight lean to the over, Kev.
Yeah.
Exciting times in the NBA. We're ready for it here. Yeah, we're ready.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Dave, great to have you. I have a feeling that this will be happening more and more, even though it is 5, 6 a.m. where you are. You find
not
a way 6 to
a.m. yet.
We appreciate that. It's close. It's close. But I know that you'll be back with us tonight on In Play Sports. Tonight, he'll be on In Game Live as well. Donnie and I will close out this edition of the Early Line next.
Some artists.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, time to close up shop here on the Early Line. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside with you here. You know, Donnie, look, a couple of tennis guys. Obviously, we've been following the French Open closely. Iga Swiatek right now, not where we want it. I think that's certainly maybe an understatement. She's a live, let's see, plus 560 dog. Not great. Not great.
No, not great. And some people can argue like we show up to work on the early line, but really we show up to see what the tennis odds are doing. And Swiatek is one of our favorites of all time, Kevin. We've watched for years this young lady develop into a great tennis player. But I'm watching right now, struggling right now. I feel like a father figure saying, come on, will it to victory. And it's amazing the professionalism, Kevin, that both me and you show where we can get through a show really struggle watching Swiatek live on the monitors.
It's one of those things, you know, if people are like, oh, why does Kevin keep looking down? It's certainly not because the second I realized she was against the rope, I've been watching an Iga Swiatek streamer. Yeah. It has, in no way would I possibly, in the middle of a show, just commit these eyeballs to checking out this match. She, you know, just pulled it down. I said, you know, CLV, she's down to 5-1 instead of 560, which is huge, although we basically have minus 125 numbers on Swiatek. So that's not exactly how we drew it up. But if we're honest, here's the thing, though. I feel how'd she just go to plus 900? Man, they move these things quick out here. It's not great, Donnie. Not great. Not great at all.
No, we'll reevaluate and we'll get it back together as the French Open continues to move on. Big night tonight, Kevin. Quick show today. A lot of fun as usual. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. Plus, listen, you know, as tennis guys, we're obviously, you know, messing around both sides of the bracket there. Nadal. That odds boost that Donnie was all over. So,
come on, Rafa.
Obviously, tons of CLV there. I think it's like, what, plus 125?
Everybody
in New York is right now.
Everybody.
Exactly. But look, you never know. Swiatek, Clay, a lot of belief here on the early line. I'll tell you this right now. If she comes back and wins, it will absolutely be in our 7-7 top headlines. Oh, yes. That is a promise. That'll do it for us here on the Early Line. For Donnie Wrightside, I'm Kevin Walsh. The Morning After comes up next right here on Sports Grid. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
There's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation, but the clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world you stay you wherever you go. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
From a meeting at the office to a big first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every event. But clothes don't make the man. So why stuff your closet with things that only work for some situations? With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting. Their clothing is understated and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They craft each piece by combining timeless style and modern performance materials, so you can stay looking good and feeling comfortable from morning to evening. No wardrobe changes required. Browse everything from summer-ready tech linen shorts and anti-odor polos to tailored sweats and crews for a night in. They can outfit you for anything, no matter what's on your agenda for the day. Go to macweldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MAC25.